Does that speak to your heart tonight? When you see that bumper sticker on the car and it says, "I found it," does it do something in you? Can you say, "I know what that's talking about. I found it. I have it." Did you know that the gospel has always been a message of hope? It's a hope that extends an invitation to whosoever will. Regardless of where you are, regardless of where you've been, regardless what sins you've committed, regardless of how far down you believe that you are, the Lord has brought a gospel of hope, a message that will bring all of us up and out of the miry pit where we can find it. He extends a hope to us that we can find no other place in the world. He satisfies a need that we will not be able to satisfy in anything else. I want to read tonight in the 7th chapter of John. And I desire your prayers. I feel like I really need prayer tonight. In the 7th chapter of John, in the 28th verse, it said, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done?" Now listen, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And skipping down to the 37th verse, this is all running together, the Lord continued to preach the gospel. He said, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now remember, the chief priest had sent the officers to go take Jesus. And so they went to where Jesus was preaching the gospel. And I don't know if they went right up where Jesus was or if they stood back a little bit. I don't know what all was going through their minds. I think I know what was going through one of their minds. And we'll get to that. They got there. And they began to hear the gospel come forth, and they listened to Jesus, and he said, "If any man thirst," you know that probably they were all thirsty. It was a message to all of them. It's a message of hope to all of us tonight. Do you thirst? Have you thirsted? If you thirst, come and drink of the water of life. And the officers were listening to that, and the Pharisees and the chief priests said, "Go get him. Bring him back in here." They didn't like the message that he was preaching. And they went back to him with empty hands, but I believe with full hearts. And they got back to him, and why do you think they sent him after him in the first place? They did not like the message that the Lord was bringing to them. Why? Why didn't the Pharisees and the chief priests like the message that the Lord was bringing? He threatened their position. He interfered with self. He interfered with their agenda. See, they had an agenda. The Pharisees and the chief priests, they had an agenda for themselves. They were more concerned about what men thought about them then they were concerned about what God thought about them. And so their whole premise was inward focus. They were living their lives for themselves, although their premise was, we want to learn about God. But when it came right down to it, the gospel reaches the lowest person. The gospel reaches the one that that doesn't maybe stand with the Pharisees in the high places. The gospel came to reach the sinner. The gospel came to reach those with a hole in their heart. They felt like they were already filled. And here was this man out here preaching something that threatened who they were, and they didn't like it, and they wanted to get rid of him. David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Why do they do it today in the world? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing when the gospel is preached and brought in front of them? It's because it interferes with their agenda. It goes against the grain. People have tried for years, just as the Pharisees did. They wanted to serve God in a way, in a manner. They wanted Him to be connected with who they were, but they wanted to do it on their terms. They wanted to do it in their way. They wanted it to be done according in a way that satisfied their flesh. And Jesus came and He said, hey, do any of you thirst? Anybody, Jews, Gentiles, the sinners, the ones that have been trying to live for me, but maybe there's a void and a gap and a hole and you don't feel fulfilled. Does anybody thirst? Come. Come unto me. I'll fill you. I have what you're looking for. And the men came and they listened to that. And one of those men was Nicodemus. And they came back empty-handed. And the chief priest said, well, what, haven't you brought him? Where's Jesus? Where is he? Why didn't you bring him? What did they say? Their response? Never a man spake like this man. What else was there to say? Words seem so inadequate to describe to somebody who was living to themselves, had a whole different agenda, and they had just stood in the presence of the Almighty God who spoke words of peace and hope, and it registered down in their heart in a way that they couldn't even describe and explain. And their response was, nobody's ever spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. What could they say anymore to a people that probably wouldn't understand what they were trying to communicate anyway? We've never come across anybody like this. This man, he stood and he talked, and something registered. Something began burning down in my heart. And it began to speak to where I am and what I am and what I want. And it seemed like it would work. It seemed like it was the answer. It seemed like if I put my arms around it, I would find what it was that I've been looking for all this time. No, we haven't brought him. I can see Nicodemus over there in the corner. This is my thought. No, and by the way, I didn't plan on bringing him in here in the first place because I met him the other night. And he talked to me at night. And he spoke to me and he said, you must be born again. And when he told me that, there was something that communicated with my heart that said, yes, this old man, it's not doing it. It's not doing the trick. I'm not being satisfied with where I am. No. Chief priests and Pharisees, we didn't bring him. We don't have him. We're not worthy to question him. He's worthy to be bowed down to. We're not even worthy to be a servant. No, we didn't bring him here to you today. I suspect that some of those officers felt a burning in their hearts like the men on the road to Emmaus did. The more I read the scripture, let me rephrase that. The more I live my life, I realize it wasn't just the men on the road to Emmaus that experienced a burning down in their hearts. When we come to the Lord with an honest and an open heart, the Lord will meet our needs. When we're willing to set aside our agenda, their agenda, it was told, go get him. We're going to line him out and bring him to the place where he sees things like we do or else. That was their agenda. Maybe we'll allow him to be one of us. No, they never said that. Never was really possible. But he has to come on our terms. He needs to be submissive to us. That doesn't ever work. Saints, we try living our lives like that. People do all the time. We try to live our lives and we come to the Lord and we want to live for the Lord and we want His blessings and we want our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we kind of want to do it according to our agenda. We kind of want to do it on our terms. And it doesn't work, and we struggle, and we try, and we pray, and we come to the... But it doesn't work. You have to be willing to lay that down. When you come in contact with the Lord with an open and an honest heart, and you're willing to lay everything you have down on the altar and say, Lord, Lord, I'm willing to give You my all. I'm willing to put my vessel and empty it out and put it down, and Lord, I'm thirsty. I want to be filled. I want what You have. The Lord will meet us. He'll meet you. You'll go away with the testimony, I found it. And you know who will understand you? The people that will say, I know what you're talking about. I found it too. There will be a fellowship of Spirit. And you don't have to say a lot of words, because the Spirit will be talking with each other. I found it, and you found it, and it's the Spirit of God that's working in us. And you go away satisfied. You go away with a sense of peace and hope and security and purpose and a cause. The world is missing the grand cause tonight. They're trying to define it all the time in today's world. Trying to define a cause and define it for you. This is what your cause should be. And here, this is what you want. No, it's not what I want. I want to find something where something is spoken to me like no man has ever spoken. That's what they came back. He doesn't speak like anybody else. He has something that satisfies like nothing else satisfies. And what do we do today? People try to be satisfied by the things that this world has to offer. And when it doesn't work, they look for more and think, well, I just didn't get enough. And then when that doesn't work, the enemy says, well, you're almost there. Just a little bit more. And then that doesn't work. And then the devil says, well, maybe you need a little religion. Listen, religion never worked. We have to have something more than religion. It's more than a set of rules. It's more than a religion where we're focusing all of our time trying to earn our way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You live in bondage your whole life. We're not under the law anymore. The Lord brought a salvation where He can get down into your heart and fill your need. And you can go away and say, I found it. Why? Because He paid the price. And He will put a new heart within you where you're not struggling with the same things you've always struggled with, where your affections aren't going after all of the things and you're trying to maybe balance it out with some religion and maybe following a few set of rules and you're trying to live right and trying to have peace. But on the other hand, the enemy's saying that you need to do this to really be happy, to kind of round it out and have a well-balanced portfolio in your life. It doesn't work. It's simpler than that. Leave the old vessel behind and come to the Lord and say, Lord, will You fill me with what You have? Lord, I'm willing to empty myself out of myself. I want to be filled with what You have. And the simple gospel message is, He loved the world so much that He came and He gave His only begotten Son. That's why He's so great. That's why we can sing that song, How Great Thou Art. And our hearts lift up to Him because we found it. It means something. It's more than just words on a page. He's the air that we breathe. This is the ground that we walk on. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our purpose. Have you found it? Does this mean something? Does it register? If it doesn't, it can. That's the wonderful part of the gospel message. It is extended to every single one of us, wherever you are. You're a prize, yeah. You have to empty your old vessel out. You have to be willing to... It didn't satisfy you in the first place. You didn't have a testimony of I found it then. You were still searching. There ought to be a bumper sticker that says I'm still searching. Then maybe somebody who found it can tell them. We are not searching. We found it when we come to the Lord. I believe Nicodemus and his friends felt some burning in their hearts that day. Listen to this other beautiful passage in the third chapter of John. I think it's the third. No, it's the fourth. Remember the Samaritan woman? Here came a Samaritan woman, and Jesus just happened to be at the well. Just happened to be there by himself. The day that a Samaritan woman came to get something to drink. I don't know why. I suppose she went there to get some water. Maybe she was trying to get away from her five husbands. Sounded to me like she had a lot of trouble at home. It sounded like she had tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And it wasn't working. And one hot day, she came to the well. And there was a man sitting by the well. And she came to the well to draw water. And Jesus said, "Give me the drink." Listen, he wasn't so concerned about getting a drink from her. He wanted her to go away with a testimony of, "I found it! I found it!" And so he asked her. He wanted to see what she had on hand. Help her realize her condition. That's what the Lord does. Where are you tonight? Are you happy? Why are you here? Are you looking for a drink? Are you thirsty? The Lord said, "Would you give me a drink?" And the woman looked at her, and she wasn't sure exactly why he was asking her to give him a drink, because she was a Samaritan. And the Lord said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Living water? He's already talking about like a man that never talked like that before. "I saw a man who spake like no other man, just like Nicodemus and the officers." Living water? And the woman said, "Well, sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep." And I can just see the Lord sitting there saying, "You're going just where I want you to go. This is exactly where I wanted you. You don't have to give me the same old thing that I've been getting for the last however many years." She thought that's what was going to satisfy. "The well's deep, and you don't have anything to help satisfy me. He was thinking, "That's just where I want you." And so the woman said unto him, "You don't have anything? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "You're talking about this well right here." She's thinking, "Well, yeah, I mean, that's where you're sitting. You know, you're sitting right here by this well." He said, "Oh, well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give you, you won't ever thirst again. The water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Don't you know he had her attention? My goodness, who is this man? Why is he still talking to me? Does he not know who I am? Does he not know that most people like him don't even talk to me? But now he's speaking to where I live. In my heart, I've been thirsty. And I've been looking for something. Could he possibly be referring to that? Is it possible that he has something that I've been looking for? The Lord wasn't done quite yet. She was ready to get it. She was ready to get some of that water. And she said, "Sir, give me this water that I won't thirst anymore. Can I have some of this? I want some of this water. Give me some of this water. This sounds good." And maybe inside she's thinking, "Well, I sure hope he doesn't know exactly who I am. But if I can get some of this water and get out of here before he finds out really who I am, then we'll both be better off." I believe her heart might have dropped to her stomach here pretty soon. Because Jesus didn't even answer her question. He didn't say, well, let me talk to you about it first. I have the water to give you, but here's kind of the situation. It was almost like he didn't even hear her question. He went straight to something else. He said, go call your husband and come back. And I can see the Samaritan woman's heart is dropping. Do I have to disclose that? Does he have to know that I've been married 5 times? Does he have to know what manner of woman I am? Isn't there a way, if he's really who he is implicating that he is there any way that maybe he could just give me the water without having to get into the details of my life? But you know what she did? She was honest. You know what? We have to be honest with each other. If you want a drink of the water, if you want to be able to go away and say, I found it, you have to be willing to be totally, completely open and honest with the Lord. You have to open up all the doors in your life that you're ashamed of. You have to be willing to say, Lord, this is who I am. Lord, I'm not an example. Lord, I've been living a lie. Lord, I've had a profession, but over on the side over here, nobody knows, but this is who I am. Why is it that sometimes we think we're going to surprise the Lord when we tell Him that? Like, maybe if I don't tell Him, He won't know. He already knows. You're not going to open His eyes. He wants to know how honest you're willing to be. We have to get to the place where we're honest. We have to get to the place where we're just totally open with the Lord. And this day, this woman made a choice. You have a choice to make, too. She had a choice. She could have lied. She could have brought the conversation to an end and said, I'm not ready to address this. It was sounding really good up to a point. You ever been there in service? Where the Spirit is dealing and you feel like, this is sounding good. I like this. I want this. But then when it gets right down to it, the enemy says, you know what? If you want that, you're going to have to deal with this thing over here. And your heart kind of drops and you think, oh man, I'm not ready to deal with that. And when you take that approach, you go away an empty person. You go away empty and without and thirsty. And you don't get to say, you don't get to put the bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, I found it. You go away empty, wondering, having the questions of what if. What if? What if I would have addressed it? This day, this woman made a decision, to be honest. She made a decision just to lay it all out. And you know that's what Jesus was looking for. He said, go get your husband. He really wasn't interested in her going and getting her husband. He was going to ask her a question and see what her response was. And the woman said, I wonder if she paused. The Lord looking at her. The Lord gives us some time. He's patient with us. Rod, do you want a drink of this water? Yes, Lord, please. Can I have a drink? Rod, where were you last night? What does that have to do with drinking water? Rod, what is it that you like thinking about? What is it that you hang out on Friday nights? What do you do when you're on the road and your family's gone and kind of by yourself and church people's not around and family's not around and you're kind of all by yourself and kind of got the run of the place and, you know, nobody knows, nobody's heard, everything's fine. What do you do, Sam? And then he waits for us to answer. What are we going to do? Our flesh says, run. Don't go there. Cut your losses and get out of here. This man doesn't need to know anymore. But this lady made a decision. I'm going to tell him. And she said, She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you said well, you have no husband because you have five husbands. You know, she hedged just a little bit. And the Lord was still merciful. She didn't say, I have five husbands. She said, I don't have a husband. And she said, and he said, you're right. You don't. You have five. The Lord knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what sins are in your life. He knows exactly what I do with my time. He knows how I think. He knows what I watch. He knows what I listen to. He knows where I go. He knows how I think. He knows where I set my affection, regardless of what my testimony is. And he still sits at the well waiting for me, because he wants to give me living water. Even though he knows all of that, even though he knows that I am not worthy, he still sits at the well, waiting for me to come. And the Samaritan woman came, and she was honest. And after she demonstrated she was willing to be open and honest, and just lay it all out on the line, the Lord said, the woman said, Lord, I perceive you're a prophet. And she began to talk to him a little bit. And the Lord began to speak to her and said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. And he began to speak with her. And I have an idea that as she sat there and listened to the Master open up the gospel to her, she had an honest heart and it began to open up. And that slow burn started down in her heart. And the excitement began to rise. And finally, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. And what did Jesus tell her? He told her the secret. It wasn't a secret, but think of it. The import of what he told her. He said, you can see him sitting there grinning. She's saying, well, there's a Messiah that knows all things, and he's going to come, and maybe she's starting to put some dots together and wonder, and this, you almost sound like what I've read about. You almost sound like what I've heard about and read about. And I can just see Jesus, I've waited for this opportunity. I've waited to come across somebody who was way down here with five husbands and in trouble, and the outcasts and the people that looked at him, and those are the last people they thought Jesus would go to. And, you know, that woman that we don't associate with her, and here she has an open heart. Maybe she's the first person Jesus said, hey, that's who I am. That's me. I'm the Messiah. I'm Christ. I that speak to you am he. And you know what the woman did next? Something that is often overlooked. Well, maybe it's not. She left her water pot. You're he? And she left her water pot and she went her way. Come see the man that told me everything I was. No man spake like this man. Oh, he started to get down into my heart and he began to fill it in ways that I've never been filled before. And she left her water pot. That's what God wants you to do tonight. He wants you to leave your water pot, the one that you always try to fill with all of these things that the world has to offer, and says, I'll sit here. Come to this well. It's deep. Well, it needs to be deep because it takes a whole lot of it. In fact, it never does satisfy. There better be a lot of it if people think they're going to be satisfied with what the world has to offer. And she came with her pot to get some more water. And the Lord says, oh, wait a minute. You don't need to drink of this water. I have got water for you, that you won't thirst again. And the Lord has that message to you tonight, wherever you are. The Lord is saying, you come to me and leave your water pot here. I have some water for you that'll satisfy you, that's everlasting. Isn't that a beautiful message to all of us? It's the kind of experience that allows us to stand before the detractors who came and asked. This is what they told Nicodemus and the other officers when they said, well, no man spake like this man. You don't understand. And it was written all over their face. You could tell they were convinced. I mean, it's written on their face. No one spake like this man. And they said, oh, you've been deceived too? You just been deceived too? When you find it and you leave your water pot at the well and you go away after being in touch with the master and you go away and you found it, then when the detractors come and say, you've been deceived with that stuff too? Say, no, I am not deceived. I'm not simple-minded. I'm not short-sighted. I haven't been taken with something in the moment. I found it. There's water that is satisfying me. I don't need that stuff where I have to keep coming back over and over and keep telling myself, well, I need to go back out there and get some more because what I did yesterday doesn't satisfy me and I keep trying to be satisfied. What does it require? John tells us in the third chapter when Jesus came to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Saints, that's what it takes. Sinners, that's what it takes. You can't continue in the sin business and be satisfied. It's incompatible. It's like oil and water. It doesn't work. And you know what people do all of the time? You know what they do? They put the oil in the water, and they're always going around shaking it. They are. They're trying to act like it can mix. And they're always agitating. They have to always agitate. They always have to be spending energy on it, trying to make it work. Always trying to make the world and self fit with the simple gospel of Christ that says, any man come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You have to sell out. Why do you have to sell out? Because you can't hold what the Lord has to give you if you hold on to your little pearl. He has something so much more valuable. The Lord's not saying sell out so you're left with nothing. He's not saying leave your pot here and empty it out so that you can stay empty and see if you can earn your way in. That's not what he's saying. He's saying sell out. I have a new life for you. I have a new heart for you. Seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You have to be willing. You have to be honest. You have to be willing to walk away from the old man. You have to have faith and trust. The Lord's saying, I have it. I have it for you. Give up trying to mix oil and water. Because it doesn't work. It never has worked. And we're so afraid sometimes to just go with the water. Because we're afraid that if we let go of the oil, well, I kind of like a little bit of the oil. I kind of like having maybe mostly water, but I still like to come get a little oil every once in a while because, well, you know, I mean, that's just how I'm made up. That's just who I am. I'll tell you something, the Lord wants to change who you are. And the Lord will change who you are. The enemy says, well, you better don't go too far with this because you know that's not who you are and you won't be able to do that. And the Lord's saying, trust me, come. I've got water for you and it'll fill you. I'll change your heart. I'll put a new heart in you. You won't set your affection on the old things anymore. And you'll go away with a new song in your heart. It gets tiring trying to keep water and oil agitated all the time. And people spend their lives trying to do that, trying to live for the Lord and live for themselves, and it doesn't work. And the Lord's saying, give it up. I have something if you want it. I'm not going to force it on you. He isn't going to force it on me. He just simply says, you keep drinking from that well, you're going to keep thirsting. And the longer you put it off, the longer you'll be thirsty. And he also comes to us and says, please, please come, because there's going to come a day when the water that I have to give you is not going to be available anymore. There's going to come a day when you're going to be judged based on whether you had oil mixed in the water. And I'm coming back for someone that just is unspotted from the world. Unspotted. Why do we try to get so close to the world and get splattered? You think, well, I didn't touch it. I didn't do it. I kept myself. I didn't touch it. And yet we're like right there. And we're getting splattered. And we're getting influenced. And we're trying to tell the Lord, I'm good. I didn't touch it. You're still trying to live under the law. God has a better experience than that for you. We heard about it the other night. He wants to put a new heart in you to where you're not interested in that anymore. The works will come as a manifestation of the Spirit of God that's now living in you. Not the other way around. So many times we try to do the works and then check them all off and then I'm saved now. That doesn't work. It's never worked. That's bondage. Let it go. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm all yours. That's what He wants us to do. Be committed. Be open. Be honest. Come to the Lord with a willing and open heart. He wants to fill you. Get a hold of His Holy Spirit. I said to somebody the other night, people try to drink from two cups at the same time and they spill them both and they're not satisfied by either one of them. Set the cup of the self to the side. Well, second thought, pour out the cup and get rid of it. Turn your back on it and focus on the Lord. Lord, you have my attention. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody? You say, are you listening to me? Yeah, I'm listening. I hear you. And you say, no, listen. I am. I heard what you said. You said this. And you're distracted. And you're not, you feel like saying, look at me. Follow me. Repeat after me. You know, the Lord isn't going to force us. It's an invitation to whoever. But we have to give Him our attention. We must give Him our all. And if we do that, we'll find this water. Is there a price? Yes, there's a price. I'm not going to say there's not a price. There's some good to the oil. There's some value to the pearls that had to be given up. There's some value to the, you know, the money that the man had to give in to buy the field that had the great treasure in. It costs something. And there is some sacrifice. The Lord never said there wasn't. He said there was. But I want to tell you something. When you come to the place where you are willing to sell out, where you're willing to come to the place where you say, okay, I'm all in. I'm done playing. I'm done playing church. I'm done playing religion. I'm done playing just trying to fit in and satisfy certain people and kind of try to get... I'm done. I'm all in. Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to put on? How do you want me to proceed for you? What do you want me to drive in? Where do you want me to live? Lord, I'm yours. And the Lord said, that's exactly where I've been waiting to hear. I'm the Messiah, and I came to give you water. And here it is, and drink of it. And we walk away, and we forget all about the vessel that was against the water. Do you think the woman got into town and went, oh my goodness, I forgot my pail. I better go back and get it and get some water in it. Oh, she didn't think another thing about it. Why? Because she had something of so much greater value. She found it. She found what satisfied. Where do you stand today? What testimony do you have? Have you found it? Can we be like the blind man that the Lord touched? Remember, there were some things he didn't quite understand. And the Pharisees came to him trying to, you know, trying to convolute the whole thing and get Jesus into trouble. And he finally got frustrated and he said, listen, I want to tell you something. This is what I know. What I know is that I used to be blind and now I see. So take it for whatever it's worth. And my message to you tonight is, if you sell out to the Lord, you will go away and you will have found it. And it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what the world tells you, this is really where satisfaction is. It doesn't matter if you're in the minority. It doesn't matter. Because you say, look, you can say all you want, but this is what I know. I tried that way. It doesn't work. It didn't fill me. I've been to the well over and over and over. And oh, by the way, I read a verse one time that said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come and buy bread without price and come and then he said, why do you labor for that which doesn't satisfy? And it meant something to me today because I said, wait a minute, that's me. And he has something and he gave it to me. And so y'all can say whatever you want, but I found it and I'm not going to change. And no, I'm not deceived. And this is the water of living comes out of me, a well of water springing up. And he has it for every single person in here tonight. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what has you bound. It doesn't matter the mistakes and the sins that you have made. It doesn't matter if you've been professing salvation for a long time and really don't have it. He is still at the well waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come and say, Lord, this is who I am. Are you thirsty? Come and drink. Experience what the man on the cross experienced. The man who was on the cross, the thief, who had no reason to be able to, be, earthly reason, to earn his way into heaven, but he came to the place where he was honest and he was open, and the Lord spoke to him like no other man had spoken to him before. He said, today, you can be with me in paradise. And the Lord is speaking to you today. Come. You can have the experience of Bartimaeus. When he called out to the Lord, this is, oh, be quiet. That's not what you... You're disrupting things. And that is what the enemy will try to do to you in your heart when the Lord calls out to your soul. Say, whoa, you don't know what you're getting into. You know what Bartimaeus did? He cried the louder. And you know what he found? He found it. That's what he found. He found it. He didn't have to go back to the old corner tomorrow morning. He didn't have to have his old place. The next morning, people came and kind of left his area, and he never showed up. It's like, what happened to Bartimaeus? Oh, you should have been here yesterday. Because Jesus walked by, and Bartimaeus caused a commotion, and they told him, no, that's not what you want. He said, oh, yes, it is what I want. I've been coming back to this old curve for years, and I still have to keep coming back no matter what people give me. But yesterday, found it. Bartimaeus is on the road. He's not on a curve anymore. The Lord wants us to experience that. The Lord wants us to experience what the woman that pressed through, pushed through the press. She touched him. The Lord said, who touched me? And he was happy to say, who touched me? And the Lord wants to touch you tonight. If any man thirsts, come to me, and I will give water. It is a well springing up into everlasting life. Amen.